It's Tuesday night, Jaguars fans. The Jack Del Rio show is on the air.
Boy, I don't know. I think he got to punt it here.
He's not going to. They don't call him Gambling Jack for nothing. Maurice is over the right side. He's got it.
Wow. Talk about a sigh of relief. I mean, holy cow, you're on the 36-and-a-half.
Yes.
Going for it on fourth down. Wow.
That nickname, Gambling Jack.
That's deserved.
The Jack Del Rio show on the Jacksonville Jaguars radio network is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. It's Tuesday night. How are you, Coach?
Great.
We're at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Jaguars getting set for their third preseason game. And you could join us on the phones this evening. 800-355-NFL-1. 355-6351. And Coach, we were talking about it a little earlier. The third preseason game doesn't have the same significance this year that it has in the past because of the lockout, because you need to see guys more.
Well,
it won't be the last tune-up that it always was for your starters, because you're going to play some guys going into the final preseason game.
I don't know that the third means any less as much as maybe the fourth game may take on a little more meaning.
Okay. Well, I mean, it was always the last time that you would see your guys. You know, I mean, because you wouldn't play a frontline player, you know, for the fourth preseason game. But, yeah, I see what you're saying, though, is that that fourth game, it's a must play now because you need more time with the guys in the field.
Well, I think in our case, you know, with as many new players to our defense that we need to continue to bring together and who were not able to play in the first game because of having just arrived and not being allowed to participate, you know, leading up to that first ball game. I think it just puts you in a position where you kind of have to use the last three to get yourself ready.
Let's stay on the defense, because on Friday night, Falcons game, I have my phone sitting next to me up in the broadcast booth, and there comes a tweet from Peter King, and it says, Tyson Alualu is very difficult to block. And I said, that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
That's what we saw in that ball game, and people are going to see it, because, Coach, he's that three-technique tackle, and we've talked about it with Buscelli and with Loggeman a bit, but not with this audience. Describe the three-technique tackle, why it's so important to what you do on defense, and why he's so good for what you do.
Well, to have a good attacking 4-3 front, you really need a three-technique that can be disruptive, penetrating, and he was those things. You know, when you're penetrating, you're in the backfield, you're disruptive, you're difficult to block, you end up drawing a lot of one-on-one blocks, and it's difficult for the offense to slide the center to the three. And if they do that, then the nose tackle kind of you know, causes some disruption.
Right. So, because the three is lined up on the inside shoulder of a guard, right?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, he's outside of the guard in the guard tackle gap, and,
okay,
and we call that a three technique. He plays on the outside shoulder of the guard. So the nose tackle typically will play on the backside, the gap between the center and the guard, and he will need to occupy two players. If he's going to be any good and your defense is going to be any good, you're going to have an effective player there. And that's what we have in Terrence Knight. And so when those two guys are rolling and they're playing together, it can be very disruptive.
And they were rolling early on against Atlanta the other night too, weren't they?
Yeah, they played good. I mean, they're going to play better. I mean, it's good to see, because as you have linebackers fitting around it and tackling in the secondary and you put it all together, you end up playing good defense, but it does start with the big guys in the trenches.
We had Paul Posluszny on Jaguars All Access here in Jacksonville last night, and I didn't even have to ask the question because he was smiling. And I said, you like what those big guys up front can do? And he just said, absolutely. He said, it's a game changer for a linebacker to have those types of players up front. It makes us all so much better at what we do.
Sure, absolutely. And so it's a dream to play linebacker behind him. You know, I was fortunate in my career to play behind some really good players, and when you have good players that are playmakers in front of you, that are not just eating up blocks but also making plays in front of you, it makes it that much more difficult for an offense to get off to the linebackers. And then, you know, it becomes a little bit like batting practice, and you get the tee off.
Go get them.
Tee off on some of those cookies that come running through there.
You talk all the time about fits in the run defense. You've got Posluszny, and Session was back on the field this week. You've got Landry and Coleman, and you've got Matt Roth now. Is this defense starting to gel and get the fits that you're looking for? Is it starting to come?
Yeah, it's coming. And listen, we still have a lot of work to do. I mean, we just know that the work is being put in. The guys are communicating well. you know, they understand where they belong more and more and more, and we're playing faster, and we still feel like we have a ways to go. We need to play faster. We need to be more efficient, and then you need to keep doing it week in and week out. So, you know, long, long way to go, but they're very positive signs with the way things are coming together, and the unit has been assembled, and you can kind of see the pieces, you know, how they're going to play together and how things are going to work out and who's going to play what role. And as you start to really define that and have it all come together, it's exciting.
But you have to know that people sitting in the stands the other night were saying, now that's the defense that we became accustomed to around here.
Yeah.
So just seeing that back here after a couple of years of it not being at that level, it got people excited.
Good, good. That's why I'm excited. That's why we're all excited, because it gives you a chance. When you play good, solid defense like that, you can run the ball like we can. You know, then that's a great foundation for a very successful football team. And then, you know, obviously you got to do other things to complement that, and so we will.
All right, time for our first break of the evening. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show, and you're welcome to join us this evening. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. If you're listening in the Jacksonville area, to our flagship station, News Talk Radio WOKV. We're back after this on the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. I'm Brian Sexton, joined by the head coach of the Jaguars, and you, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. You got some guys back on the practice field this week, didn't you? Quinn Session, I know, was back. Did you get Przinski full?
Yes.
The young man from Wyoming?
We got really just about everybody back. We got Eben Britton's still out, and Zach Miller's out, and that's about it,
I think. Those are two big guys, though. You hate to see them not practicing.
Well, the good news about the guys that are out right now is it looks like, you know, we'll get them back.
Okay.
And, you know, perhaps in time for the opener. So, you know.
Miller's a guy who.
So far, so good. In terms of, you know,
injuries,
fighting our way through injuries.
Well, you see what the Giants have had to deal with now. I mean, they lost Gerald Thomas. I mean, they lost, I think, three or four starters in their secondary and defensive line. I mean, you get those runs, and there's nothing you can do.
No. Look, part of it is you find a way to stay healthy. The other part is continue to develop. You know, one of the things last year Green Bay did that was so remarkable on their run is that they got hot at the end of the year with a bunch of backups.
True.
I mean, not that they weren't good players, but they had depth, and they had developed depth, and obviously the quarterback got hot, but they did it with a lot of players that they were missing. I mean, Finley, the tight end, and a linebacker, and you know, you just go down the line and you look, there were probably five or six significant injuries they were able to overcome.
And that's really where an off-season program is so valuable to you, isn't it? To be able to continuously develop guys, because it's tough to develop during the season.
Right. No, you do a lot of that during May and June. And that's a part that's more difficult, or, you know, a shortened period of time where you're developing young players, you know, prior to the beginning of the season. Once you get into the season, you know, you are still technically developing guys. They are getting experience, but it's hard to slow down and go back and really spend the time and teach them.
When it comes to your rookie class, obviously the quarterback has gotten a lot of attention. Will Rackley, who's been starting at left guard, hasn't even Cecil Shorts after the performance the other night. What about the other two guys? You get Przinski back, so obviously there's some room to see what he can do.
Sure.
But what about Rod Isaac, who played last week? And what are your thoughts on the way that he played? And if there's a role for him in what looks like a pretty talented secondary here, didn't you tell us last week that William Middleton and David Jones came ready to play this summer?
They've been pretty solid in camp, and Rod is doing a nice job. He's really learned, you know, three different roles. He's learned corner, he's learned nickel, and now he's learning some safety as well. So he is you know, learning on teams and working hard, and he will run and hit.
Is that what you see in him that says make a move to safety perhaps?
Yeah, the fact that he will strike. He's a physical player. And so we want to make sure we cross-train him. And, you know, he's not going to be a front-line player this year. And so he'll have a chance to kind of grow and know multiple positions and then, you know, contribute special teams-wise and all those types of things. We want to give him every opportunity to make this football team and be able to contribute.
What's the difference between free and strong safeties and left and right safeties?
Well, if you're left and right, then you're going to be a free and a strong, depending on how the offense deploys.
Okay.
If you're playing free and strong, then typically you have one guy that's going to always be in the box and one guy that's going to always be your free safety or guy that goes center field when it's one high.
Well, I mean, you've got a guy, and Courtney Green has started 11 games for you last year at strong, and Landry's always played strong based on his time in Baltimore. So can
not necessarily true.
No?
No, actually, you know, Courtney plays some left and right, and DeJuan has played a bunch in their secondary, depending on the health of Ed Reed and where they needed him. So
you roll back and forth with those?
He played free and strong. So we've been playing left and right with those two guys in the lineup.
Okay. So last year you played some 3-4-4-3 concepts. Can you do the same thing, left and right and free and strong in a defensive scheme?
Yes.
Okay. Looks like I'm touching on something there.
No.
Yes. The safety competition's interesting because of the way that Courtney Green played for you last year, and mm-hmm. you haven't had Chris Brzezinski, and obviously you know what DeJuan Landry has. Any of the other safeties stand out to you on the practice field? I mean, have they made a move?
No.
Okay.
No, I think the rest of it is pretty wide open.
All right. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. If you'd like to join us on the program this evening, going to Buffalo for a 7 o'clock kickoff on Saturday night, which means that for those of you in Jacksonville, we begin with the Suddeth pregame show. Pardon me. With the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show at 4, Suddeth pregame show comes along at 6 with kickoff at 7. Of course, the Aetna Big halftime show as well. Then the Windy City postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard show. Let's go ahead and take our break. We'll come back and we'll turn our attention to the offensive side of the ball when we return on the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, rolling right along. We'll take your calls, questions, comments, 800-355-NFL-1 or simply 355-NFL-1. Coach, 20 minutes into the show now, time to talk about quarterback, Brian.
I mean, I knew you wouldn't wait.
Well, you can't wait forever. That's what everybody wants to talk about. Where's the quarterback position right now based on last week?
Well, it hasn't changed.
Okay.
I mean, you know, David's a starter.
Right.
Blaine's continuing to work, and he shows, look, he's going to be a good football player. He's got all the tools. He just hasn't been in our system, you know.
He's been here a month.
Really. Yeah, I mean, he's been here less than a month, but he's picking things up. He doesn't make the same mistakes. He is improving. He is getting better. He can throw it. I mean, he's got legitimate talent, and I think everybody sees that.
He's a guy who, as you watch him, he just seems to gain confidence with every snap of the football.
Right.
And I've been told that you teach him something once, and he goes back out there, and he executes.
Yes.
I mean, he's that bright of a
kid. Well, he's been pretty solid that way. And but there's some things that we have to do better with him before he's – you know, going to be ready to lead this football team. You know, the guy who's really probably had the best camp at all of them is Luke McCown. And just,
you're fueling our show tomorrow night, I'm telling you.
You just can't get too carried away with the fact that, you know, he led us to our only offensive touchdown against their backups. I mean,
right.
you can't get too carried away with that. But Luke has been good in camp, and got to give him a lot of credit because, one, he stayed positive. You know, Dave is a returning starter. Luke decides to come back and compete and wants to compete with Dave. And then we sign a first-round pick at quarterback.
Right.
And so, you know, okay, now you're going to get the 3 reps, and which means you're not going to get a lot of reps. And I think he's been terrific. You know, his attitude's been solid. His preparation's been very strong. He's been a great influence for Blaine. And and then you see the result. And when he gets in and gets his chance, he shines. So, you know, happy for Luke.
Throw Bauman in the mix. You got a good meeting room for a young quarterback to learn from.
It is. You know, because really, Luke McCown kind of leads the way. And then, you know, both Todd and David are good, solid veterans that have been around a long time, and it's a good climate for the quarterback to be in.
Do you take exception at all to David's comment about the overthrown pass? I know a lot of people made a lot of it over the weekend.
Would it shock you if I told you I didn't see it?
Oh. No, probably not. Just in this media world that we live in today, everything
honestly,
just,
I didn't
just
see
went
it.
By. Oh, well, people thought that he was rolling Mike Thomas under the bus for not playing enough of a defensive back. It was up for interpretation. Let's put it that way.
Didn't we had a story about a bus a while back, but it wasn't rolling over people with the bus. It was get on the bus and positive energy and all that, right?
Yeah, just curious. David, when he came out, made a couple of really nice throws. It was good to see him back out on the field.
Right.
Making some throws and leading the offense.
Yeah, there was a miscommunication on that throw where, you know, David and Mike got to do that better. And, you know, at the bottom, at the end of the day, the bottom line is the quarterback's going to take the heat. If it's a touchdown, it's going to be how great he is, and if it's an interception, it's going to be, you know, what the heck was he thinking? So that's just part of playing that position.
355 NFL One. Let's grab Jose, who is across the river in Arlington. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Jose.
I've been a long-time Jaguar supporter, and this is like a little personal question for you, Coach. I just want to know if you guys, if you're going to wear your suit on opening day this year.
Man, I don't know, Jose. I'm really thinking about it. I'd have to get clearance.
Okay, wow, that's.
I'd have to get clearance. I did have a tan seersucker suit made.
I was going to say, it better be seersucker.
Just in case, just in case, because you know how hot it's going to be. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know yet. I can't really, you know, definitively give you an answer. I can tell you I'm thinking about it because I actually did have. And
would you go with a white shirt and the teal tie? Would you be so bold as to go with the teal shirt?
I've got a teal tie.
How about a teal shirt?
No, I don't have a teal. Well, actually, I do have a teal shirt.
Yeah,
but I've got a teal tie.
All right.
And we'll see. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't want it to be. I don't want that to be the story. But I do like, and I had Peter King talk about it while he was here visiting last week. You know, there is to me something about the professional look. Having a head coach in a coat and tie. And, look, my boy wears a tie to school.
Right.
You know? And so I think for young men, you know, in our country and the respect and just being in a position of authority and, you know, hearkening back the days of Tom Landry and some of those guys, I think it's pretty cool. And it's gives you that professional look.
Who would you have to get clearance from?
Well, that'd have to come from the commissioner.
Oh, that he makes that determination.
Yeah. Right. I think I'd have to get clearance from the top.
Did he hear what you thought about the 18-game schedule? He might say no.
It might start with my boss and then go all the way to the top.
You may have to work your way up. Jose, anything else? Nah, I think we lost Jose.
Thanks for calling, Jose. Appreciate it.
355-NFL-1. You know, let's stay in the Arlington area since we're in that direction. And we've got Chris across the river. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Coach, I just wanted to ask you what have you thought about Derek Cox so far? I know he's going into his third year, and I was just wanting to get your opinion on how he's looked so far.
Okay, appreciate it. He's had a good camp. You know, really, I think when you look at our corners, I think Derek and Rasheen are doing some nice things for us and challenging receivers, and we've challenged them because we're going to put more on them in terms of locking up the guys outside and letting our safeties be a little more aggressive and things like that. And I think you're seeing some of that. And so their job is to lock them down outside. They've done that for us. And, you know, I think when we've been at our best in this preseason, those guys have been on top of their game. And so I like the addition of Drew Coleman. I think we have three guys that can legitimately match people underneath and stay on top and be competitive and challenge every throw.
What a hit Coleman laid out on Ovi Muhaly.
And that's a big boy.
That's a 260.
Yeah, that's like hitting Greg Jones. I mean, that's a big, strong
guy. Yeah, he's
Greg
Jones size.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I mean, it's he's been good. He's been good. And he's had a much better camp than he had last year. And part of that is he's more settled. You know, last year we started him at left side, moved him right side. You know, he had a little more uncertainty this year. He's had a little bit of an issue with a calf, but he's really kind of put that behind him. He's had a good, focused training camp at right corner. He's doing a nice job for us.
355-NFL-1. We go back to the suit in Riverside. Mike is standing by. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the show.
How you doing today?
Good.
Heck, you got to come through for us here on the Monday Nighters. We already got the suit jackets and teal ties and the wicker hats all ready to go for the Monday Nighters.
All right. I love it. I love it, Mike. I appreciate that very much. Monday nights would definitely you know, that would be a great time to pull it out if I was going to do
October.
It. Yeah, and you know, it's just night games. You know, it's tough. It's tough 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon early in the year.
Well,
but
tough. It's brutal.
Monday night is a great time, I think, in terms of, you know, all that goes into it. And I think our town knows how to turn out for a great Monday night affair. So we get a couple of them this year. Looking forward to it.
All right, phone lines are exploding. Let's do this. Let's take a break. Give Joe a chance to catch up with that. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, the phone lines, Coach, as advertised, have lit up And so let's grab some. These are legitimate football questions now. We'll start up the road in Savannah, where Kevin is standing by. Kevin, welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Thank you very much. Coach, good to talk to you. I'd like to ask you, with Zach Miller's propensity for injury, is Brock Bolin getting any looks at that type of position, that hybrid tight end? He seems to be a good enough receiver, has good enough speed. Is he running any of the situational plays that maybe Zach Miller might run?
Yes, Kevin. Appreciate the call. Brock is a good football player. And, I mean, if you go back and watch that game tape from the other night on that third down and short pass that he caught out there, really wasn't a great throw. And he goes down and makes a heck of a catch. He's got good hands, and he's a good football player.
Well, against New England, he had two or three special teams tackles.
Yeah, the first two kickoffs, tackles on kickoff. He's a good football player, Kevin. You're onto something there in terms of Brock being a guy that we've got a very talented backfield, and he's one of those guys that, you know, when you play him, he makes plays. And when he gets his opportunity, he makes the most of it. And so we like Brock a lot.
You can hand him the ball in short yardage situations too,
he
right?
He can run it. He can run it. He can play a little halfback. He can run it. He can block. He's a fullback. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he can split out and do some things that way. So he's a very versatile football player, and he shows up on special teams. So we like him. That's why we keep six.
Sure.
That's why we kept six last year, because we like him so much. We see a very good football player there, and that's why we still have him.
355-NFL-1. Kevin, we appreciate the call. Up 95 there in Savannah. Mike is on the south side. Mike, you're on with the head coach. Good evening.
Yes, thank you. Hello, Coach. How are you doing?
Good. Hey, Mike. Good evening. What's on your mind?
Coach, I had a question with regards to the team, and I've been here in Jacksonville for about 4 years now, following the team since I've been here, and root for the Jags all the time. I do have a question for you with regards to free agency, some of the moves the Jags made and some of the moves they didn't make.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed with the defensive pickups, especially Pods in the middle linebacker position, and I know that's a position you can relate to, but I think you have a real strong acquisition there that's going to help our defense tremendously. That was one point I think was a good point.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to question, and I realize as head coach that it probably falls more under the GM's responsibility as opposed to yours, but maybe you would have some input. I just question why there seemed to be a flurry of moves around the league with quality wide receivers moving from various teams, when I think that might have been one of the needs for our team in addition to defense. And I saw players like Braylon Edwards move to the 49ers and Lee Evans go to the Ravens and so many others move. The addition of a good quality, especially since we lost Mike Sims-Walker, the addition of a good quality wide receiver to complement the receivers we also have and also take some of the pressure off of David and Maurice and Mercedes in terms of giving us additional offensive options, so it makes it more difficult to think for the opposing defenses to shut us down. I just was wondering if you could give me your thoughts on that.
Sure, absolutely, Mike. Appreciate the call, and clearly you've been following us very closely and have a good grasp for things we have and things we don't have and opportunities we've jumped on and others where we decided, you know, not to jump on it. So appreciate the call. Okay, in terms of a wish list, I can tell you I hand Gene a pretty extensive wish list, you know, in terms of things that we would like, where areas we'd like to strengthen ourselves, where we can really get to become a championship football team. And then we've got an executed plan, you know, with the blessings of our owner, to go out and fill as many of those holes as you can. And, you know, if you look at it, we really were fairly doggone fortunate and aggressive in filling many of those holes. And Mr. Weaver opened up his pocketbook. He allowed our football team to fill some of the holes with veteran players at some key positions. Wide receiver's the one we did not elect to fill. And so we looked at that group, and the determination was that, you know, the what it was going to cost and what it was going to take and what it was going to be and what you were going to get, we felt better about staying with the group we had. The relative value for our football team was, you know, we really kind of took some of that monies that may have gone to somebody like that and, you know, we did it with, you know, two linebackers. They're going to be good players for us. A defensive end is going to be a good player for us. A nickel corner is going to be a good player for us. So we did other things. And I think that's really what it came down to. We were aware of some of those wide receivers. Some of them were more reputation than actual.
Braylon Edwards got essentially a minimum salary with the ability to earn incentives up to two and a half.
Yeah, and I don't want to speak to any one particular player. I'll let you do that tomorrow night on your show.
Sure.
But you know, certainly there are a number of wide receivers that were available. And I would just say that some of them, without speaking about any by name, I think some were more hype and reputation because of a known name in fantasy leagues and things like that than actual, you know, known upgrades.
Well, and if people watched Cecil Shorts, I mean, you added a young receiver with a lot of potential. I mean, with a guy who's on the rise, is a good football player.
Well, we were fortunate in this, too. We got a couple young guys that we feel pretty good about that we think might have a chance. You know, bigger guys, physical guys that may give us some of that big physical guy that we've been looking for. And then with Cecil Shorts, I mean, when you look at Cecil and you look at Mike Thomas and the way he's developed and Jay Hill, you know, we have a pretty solid group now. And, you know, top to bottom, you know, we're pretty strong. We may not have the elite one, the name guy. We don't have that Larry Fitzgerald kind of guy. But we've got some good football players. And we do think they can be a complement to what we do with Mercedes and with Maurice and Rashad and the backs. And so the quarterback can be a distributor, you know, and get it to the playmakers and let them do the thing.
You know, here's the other thing, Coach. When you start talking about those elite wide receivers, those clear ones, the Andre Johnsons, the Vincent Jacksons, the Reggie Waynes of the world, you'll find that they're all drafted by the team for which they play. I mean, those guys don't hit free agency.
They're typically, you know, they're about 10 to 12 of those guys in the league. And, you know, if they're that good, they typically stay with their team.
Calvin Johnson up in Detroit, you know, an emerging young receiver. Those are the guys. Look at what Tom Brady has done with a lot of guys. I mean, Randy Moss had that big year, but other than that, Tom Brady's been really good with a lot of guys that people would go, ah, they're just guys.
Well, they're guys, but they become very good guys when they get on the same page with the quarterback, the timing, the chemistry, all those things. And we've got a good, hardworking group that is, you know, looking to do just that.
All right, we appreciate the phone call, Mike. We need a break. We'll come back. More of your calls for head coach Jack Del Rio after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach. We've got callers on the line, so let's go right to it. Let's see, we've got, let's go with Todd in Orlando just to start things off. Todd, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, Coach Del Rio, I got a question for you, man. I just wanted to know, what kind of pressure do you feel about the media putting all this? It seems like the media is putting all the pressure on you about making the playoffs or not making the playoffs, and I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, I think you're a great coach, and, man, I just remember you back in the Tecmo Bowl days.
I appreciate that, Todd. No, I can tell you, you know, when challenges are presented, I say bring them on. You know, listen, I feel much better about having expectations be high when you've got a team that you feel should rise up and meet them. And so, you know, not everybody sees what we're building here, but that's okay. You know, we don't really need to talk about it. We're just busy at work preparing for that opportunity. And you know, we expect to be good. We expect to have a good team this year. We expect to play good defense. We expect to move the ball and score points. We expect to be a good football team. And good football teams find their way into the playoffs. And so, you know, to me, is it pressure? Are you worried about that? I've always felt, you know, the pressure is there. It's always going to be there. You either apply it or you feel it. And I like to apply it. And I'm aggressive in my nature. Everything I do is to attack things head on and approach it with a lot of energy and a lot of can-do spirit. And that's how I'm going to approach this thing. And we're going to have fun going after it. We're going to be a good football team. And sounds like you're going to be along for the ride. So I look forward to it.
Good question. Appreciate you listening down in Orlando. We've got Kyle in Arlington up next on the Jack Del Rio Show.
Thank you, gentlemen, and then thank you, Coach, for all that you do. I agree. I'm all for you, and I'll tell you what, go Jags. Briefly, there was some discussion earlier this year about a possibility of going to a 2 preseason, 18 regular game schedule. Is that still on the table?
Kyle, I hope not. I think it probably is in other places. You know, look, I was asked about this, And I said, no, I think the NFL has a great schedule. I think 4 preseason games work. The commissioner came out and made some strong comments about the preseason. I didn't happen to agree with them, but that's okay. You know, we don't have to agree with everything that goes on, with everybody that represents what we're doing with the league. I personally like the 4 and then 16, and then the postseason. I think it's a winning formula for the NFL. I think it sets up a great calendar for us. I think we get a great opportunity to evaluate young men. We don't have a farm league. You know, we have an NFL season that kicks off. We need the time to develop some of these young players. And so I think it's a good thing to have, the 4 weeks, the 4 preseason games. I'm a big fan of that, and hopefully it'll stick around. I also like kind of some of the traditional things. I think they've already extended the league enough. I think you go to 18 games. Now what do records look like? What does the roster look like at the end of the year when you're all beat up? How long can teams rest their players at the end of the year? And what's it going to look like at some of the cold cities, when you're trying to sell tickets late in the year and it's 20 below out and your team's out of it? I don't know. I like our setup the way it is, and hopefully it stays the way it is for a long time.
Walt Coleman made an argument while he was here, to your way of thinking, and that was, the officials need the preseason to work with coaches and players on all of the different rules changes and or points of emphasis. For instance, the way that the replay is working this year with the challenge in the last 2 minutes and the scoring.
Sure.
and all of those things. So it's more than just football. It's all of the surrounding areas, too, that need to get the practice in.
They also, don't have, used to have the European Football League and things like that.
Gone.
Officials would use that to kind of train their crews. And so, no, I think we take good advantage of those 4 preseason games, and so I'd love to see it stay the way it is.
All right, overdue for a break. Let's take it now. More to come with the head coach after this on the Jack Del Rio Show. And you're listening to the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. Rolling right along here, Brian Sexton along with head coach Jack Del Rio. About 10 minutes left in our program this evening. Should you care to join us, 355-NFL-1. 800-355-6351. Headed to Buffalo, 7 o'clock kickoff from Ralph Wilson Stadium on Saturday night, which means for those of you in Jacksonville, the Sunny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show starts at 4 o'clock. Sudeth pregame show picks up the network at 6 o'clock, and then we follow whistle-to-whistle coverage with the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. And so we go see a team that you've pretty much seen every year that you've been around here. 7 games in the regular season in 8 years against these guys. So they've almost become like a division rival.
Yeah, we've ended up playing them quite a bit.
And they're a football team. A couple of guys to look for. First of all, C.J. Spiller, kid from Union County here, out of Clemson, first-round pick last year. The numbers weren't necessarily where they thought they would be with him, but he's a guy with great explosiveness. And again, we're not talking about game plan or anything like that, but just to feature a couple of the players that folks can watch for on the the Bills sideline. C.J. Spiller, obviously, Steve Johnson had 82 catches for him last year.
Right.
And this kid, Donald Jones from Youngstown State, is supposedly the reason they traded Lee Evans.
Well, Lee Evans is a good football player, so that was kind of shocking that they did that. But evidently they like him a lot. I know that they've got some talent there. Fred Jackson's an underrated back. I like Fred a lot.
Yeah. Last 2 years he's averaged 1,000 yards a year.
He's a good football player. So, Fitzpatrick is sneaky good. He does a good job. He settled in last year, and really a little bit after we played him, they kind of got hot there toward the end of the year and played some good football down the stretch.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab Mary, who joins us from the South Side. Mary, welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. Good evening.
Thank you very much. Hi. I was just wondering what types of things we can do to prepare the team to finish out strong and avoid maybe some injuries and burnout and just go all the way to the end and show them who's the best team.
Well, Mary, that's a great point. That's certainly something we want to do this year. And, all of our efforts are geared towards, first of all, starting well, but then finishing strong. And so the off-season approach that we had, where we didn't have our players, that makes the finishing strong part a little bit better, all right, naturally, because we did not push them as hard during this offseason as we had. Now, there's the flip side of that, because we've got to get them into shape to be able to withstand the rigors of opening day here September 11th you know, when that big red ball's out there, that sun is up, and it'll be hot and all as all get out. So there's a fine line there. But for me as a head coach, finishing strong, not having our team run out of gas, those are things that I've got to have my eye on. The other thing we did is we strengthened ourselves as a football team. So, you know, when we go into New England, when we play up in Indy to finish a game and to bring home the crown, you know, we feel like we're a better team. We feel like we have a chance to finish strong and play better football because, yeah, we're going to be healthier, we're going to be fresher, we're going to be prepared, but we're also going to be a better football team. And so how you finish the season strong is have a strong team, and we're going to be a strong team this fall as we finish up here in December and all that. We'll have a strong finish because we'll have a strong team.
Mary, we appreciate the call. Hopefully that logical answer made complete sense to you. We take this break and return with one more segment to finish up the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. We are rapidly running out of time here. A third preseason game. We talked a little bit about that at Buffalo. Again, a 7 o'clock kickoff. Then you come back with a short week, Coach. You've got to turn this thing around pretty quickly. You've got to reduce the roster. So you and Gene will have to sit down and make that happen. And then you you turn around and have a Thursday night game, and then you got to get the roster set and get ready for opening day. I mean, it seems like it's still a couple of weeks away, which it is, but it'll come fast.
It goes very quickly. This last part here. Before you know it, you're teeing the ball up for the opener. So, fast and furious here at the finish.
That even seems like an understatement considering how far you've come in just a month. I mean, you ramped it up in days. And
right.
You roll through August with this shortened schedule and calendar, and now you're already ready for the season. I mean, it's...
Well, we're getting there. We're getting there. We've got quite a bit to get done between now and then. But, you know, this will be a nice test to go up into Buffalo and put our team through the paces there, and then come back, like you said, on a short week. We've got to get trimmed down, you know, prior to the St. Louis game. We've got to get trimmed down to 80, and then obviously all the way down to 53 for the final cut.
So look for the starters into the third quarter in Buffalo on Saturday night?
Yes.
Okay. And then how do you see the fourth game rolling out? Will guys go a quarter? I mean, or does
no,
that all just depend on which guy?
We'll see how we come out of this game, but okay. I would think we're going to play quite a bit.
All right. So the Jaguars and the Buffalo Bills, that's a Saturday night, 7 o'clock kickoff, and we've just about run the gamut. Oh, your kicker hasn't missed yet. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
Scobie and Turk. Boy, did he punt the ball well.
He kicks it a little. He's got just a little more pop in his leg.
How does it go high? And he's 43. My goodness.
Yeah. He's still got some leg left, and
working with Kasim.
He's a veteran guy, you know, that brings a certain calmness, you know, to the group. I think he'll be good for Scobie.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe your whole team right now. They're calm, workmanlike.
Yeah, they're businesslike. Yeah. No, it's been good. That part's been very good. So we'll continue the work.
All right. Thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking next Tuesday night.
Okay. Thank you, Brent.
That's head coach Jack Del Rio on the Jack Del Rio Show. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.